This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما من غائبة في السماء والأرض إلا في كتاب مبين. صدق الله العظيم. We concluded on the note that Allah is aware, Allah is watchful, Allah is monitoring, Allah gives you grace and respite. Don't abuse the grace and the respite of Allah. If you are owing someone money and the creditor is silent about it, don't think he forgot about the money you owe to him and you overlook it. No, he's been kind. وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ. He's been graceful, bountiful, and lenient towards you. It would be very foolish and naive on your part to say, he hasn't asked me, so I think he's forgotten about it, and maybe he has forgiven me. No, not at all. Your entry into Jannah will be suspended. And let me, sound this warning to say, settle your affairs, settle your finances. Don't leave in a way. I had a call just a few days back of a person who unfortunately was procrastinating, was delaying, and he told the creditor, I'm not going to settle you. And now he's passed on. So the brother phoned me and he said, this man is owing me money. Even if he was kind enough to say, I owe you, but I'm in a difficult spot financially, I have challenges, probably the better side of me would have forgiven him because he's passed on. But he was arrogant. He would challenge me. He said, I'm not going to pay you. And I've decided I don't want to forgive him. And that is his right. That is his right. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the money that is owed to that person. It's owed. The point I'm saying, somebody is graceful and bountiful and lenient. It would be foolish for you to think he doesn't know you owe him money. And it would be even more foolish to assume, I think, the fact that he's not asking, he's forgiven it. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 74 and the preceding verse 73, وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَيَعْلَمُ مَا تُكِنُّ صُدُورُهُمْ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ. I know what you're doing. I am graceful, so I don't punish you immediately. It would be foolish and naive of man to say, there's no consequences. There's no repercussion. There's no retribution. Because I'm doing this so often for so long and nobody came to know about it in any way. I'm operating this, man. It's carrying on for years. No. Listen to what Allah says in verse 75. وَمَا مِنْ غَائِبَةٍ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Every hidden thing in the skies and the earth is recorded in a preserved book in the lower mahfuz. So in addition to the fact that Allah is aware of it, humans sometimes, a person owes you money, but now you don't remember the facts and the figures, the date and the location, the document and the footage. Now you don't have a case. He says, we did it in good trust. I gave it to him. Now he's disappeared. Now I can't take legal action because we didn't have any agreement put in place. And here again, what have we been taught? The Arabic proverb is, تَعَاشَرُكَ الْإِخْوَانِ وَتَعَامَلُكَ الْأَجَانِبِ. Love like brothers, but deal like strangers. When it comes to dealings, be like strangers. Listen, sign the document here. No, you don't trust me. It's not a matter of not trusting you. Please, let's finalize. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا تَدَايَنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّنْ فَاكْتُبُوا. Go look at this, the longest ayah of the Quran, concluding verses of Surah Baqarah. There's more than 20 deductions of business rulings, etiquettes, recording, capturing, witnesses, etc., that the scholars have deduced from this here. It's mentioned in Ma'ariful Quran. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu idha tadayantum bidaynin ila ajalin musamman faktubu. When you've made an agreement for something in the future, then write it. Of course, it's preferable. It's not mandatory. If you didn't record it, the deal principally would go through. But then when you have a problem, what do you fall back on? So humans, if you can't bring up a document, you can't fight your case. Allah says, I have the knowledge, and Allah's knowledge is absolute. It's infallible and impeccable. Coupled with that flawless knowledge of Allah, Allah says in verse 75, it's preserved, it's recorded, it's documented. And if the hidden things are recorded and documented, then obviously the apparent things as well. Previously, people used to oppose and challenge and say, if every detail has been recorded in the preserved book and the tablet, then how huge, how big, how gigantic, how humongous would this low mahfuz be? And today, you know how much information can be stored on a stick, on a chip, on a small piece, and tons of information. And I mean, this is just human. Allah is way, you know, ta'ala Allahu amma yaquluna uluwan kabira. We cannot even begin to fathom and comprehend and process the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as we would say, taqribil al-faham, just so that you can appreciate and understand. So, وَمَا مِنْ غَائِبَةٍ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. The summary of this is, I am watching. My grace doesn't mean I'm not aware. In addition to my knowledge being perfect and absolute, it is also recorded there. Furthermore, Allah gives a proof, gives them a proof that the Quran is the book of Allah in relation and in addition to all the other proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Verse 76, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَقُصُّ عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَكْثَرَ الَّذِيهُمْ فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ. Verily, this Quran resolves the conflict of the matters in which the Bani Israel dispute. In their feuds, in their arguments, they differed, they quarreled on the matter of Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. The Quran gave them clarity. Hence, the Quran also said to the people of the book, is this not a proof enough for you that people from the scholars of the people of the book, those that were genuine, were not biased and not prejudiced, right? That you need to make that statement. Like Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu, like Ashama, the ruler of Abyssinia, his title was Najashi, Tubba, the ruler of Yemen. These were people who were influential. أَوَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُمْ آيَةً أَن يَعْلَمَهُ عُلَمَاءُ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. That is why the Quran said as well in the concluding verses of the 13th chapter of the Quran, Juz 13, Surah Al-Ra'd, وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَسْتَ مُرْسَلًا. And they say, you are not a prophet. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say unto them, Allah is my witness that I'm a prophet. And if Allah is your witness, what more do you need? What more do you need? You know, like, I mean, there's a child that's taking objection against the teacher, but management agrees that the child is guilty and the teacher is innocent. Now he's got the backing of management, the staff, etc. And this child is saying, no, but my friend said also. Now, where do you feature in this equation when you got the high level management, etc., that have established that the guilty party is the child? I'm just using a simple analogy. So, Allah is the witness that you are the prophet. Now, you deny my prophethood. So, what difference does it make? Allah is Yasin wal Quran al Hakim innaka lamina al mursaleen. قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ. And the one who has the knowledge of the book will also testify to my witness. If it is the people either from the Torah and the Injil, those who have the scriptures and they believe in it in its original form and they accept it without being biased and prejudiced, because in their books was the description, الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. Allah said, they find the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mention, يَجِدُونَهُ. Allah didn't say يَجِدُونَ نَعْتَهُ. Allah said يَجِدُونَهُ. Such a detailed description as though you find him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in your books. So verse 76, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. Verily it is this Qur'an. And if you, being the learned one, you refer to the Quran as your guide to resolve your conflict, then you have to agree that that Quran is greater than you and greater than your book, because that is the source of resolving your conflict. You turn to someone greater, right? And you turn into the Quran to resolve your conflicts and your disputes. That itself is a proof. So, for example, Allah said to the pagan, Allah said to the disbeliever, you say you believe in this God, this ism, but why is it when you are enveloped with a storm and engulfed with storms in the water and everything fails you, why is it that you turn to Allah at that time? That means in the heart of hearts, you also know Allah is the only being and the absolute being. إن هذا القرآن يقص على بني إسرائيل أكثر الذي هم فيه يختلفون، وإنه لهدى ورحمة للمؤمنين. Verse 77. وإنه verily the Quran لهدى, it's guidance, ورحمة, and it is a mercy للمؤمنين, for the believers. So is it not a guidance and a mercy for others? It is a guidance and a mercy for all, but they don't heed it. You say, you know what, your father is a man of wisdom if you are children who listen, right? If he's not, so the whole world could be taking wisdom from him, but you as the children and the offspring and the direct descendants, if you don't value it, it's just a regular and an average and a common. You don't realize the input and the value he's making. The Quran is guidance for anyone and everyone who chooses it. And that life of guidance is a life of mercy. Listen to me, my brother, and listen to me, my sister. In the limitations of Islam, by Allah, there is freedom. And in the apparent limitations of others, wallahi, there is destruction. You look at the world, look at the open and limitless indulgence, freedom, enjoy, party, merry make. And then the consequences of this year in terms of diseases, illness, social breakups, the fabric of society in every regard. When there is no boundary, no limit, no control, no legislation, just eat, just indulge, just party, just merry make, just celebrate. So in that so-called freedom, there's destruction. And in the limitations of Islam, there is meaning. It's a wholesome life. وَقَدْ وَسَّعَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ مَا يَكْفِيهِمْ فِي شَهَوَاتِهِمْ. And Islam has given man a fair amount of allowance in parameters to control and to enjoy his pleasures as well. So Islam doesn't come to deny you flatly. That's why Islam doesn't tell you, there's no celibacy in Islam, right? Somebody said that marriage has thorns in it, but celibacy has no roses. Marriage has thorns, but celibacy has no roses. Islam doesn't support that because there's a human need here. But Islam limits it. Islam regulates it. Islam gives it context, right? We talk about polygamy in Islam. Many people, in those who oppose Islam, they immediately frown on it. Well, either you could refer to polygamy as a man having multiple spouses, or you could refer to it as polygamy is a system that facilitates for every woman to have a husband. You look at the stats in the world and you look at the ratio of women and men. And if you were to pair one by one, that means some by nature are disadvantaged that they weren't able to have a spouse. Islam has not made it mandatory for a man to have multiple, but Islam has made it permissible. So it is a system that allows for every woman to have a partner. And as humans, Allah has created us that we long for each other. We long for a partner. We long for that companionship. We long as a man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Rum, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. He's created for you spouses from which you get peace and comfort. فيه دلالة على كون الميلان إلى الأزواج من مننه تعالى لذكره في محل الامتنان ودل أيضا على عدم التنافي بينه وبين الكمال كما يزعمه بعض المتقشفين من الزهاد. This is mentioned there in بيان القرآن. The ayah suggests that the inclination to each other principally is natural, is normal, is wholesome. This is how Allah has put it. It's a system of procreation that Allah has put in place. So I'm saying, in following the deen of Islam, by Allah, there is mercy, it's goodness. Today, everybody talks about the health benefits of fasting, intermittent fasting, Monday to Thursday. This is Ramadan that Allah makes it compulsory upon us. And of course, we then see the benefits of health, the benefits of fasting. Of course, due to our 11 months of indulgence, it takes the body time to adjust and adapt, and it detoxes. But this is not because of fast, but because we have starved our body from fasting. We're just perpetually indulging and indulging. But everybody will tell you the benefit of that. Everyone will tell you the benefit of rising early. Well, that's part of our deen. Everybody will tell you the need of ablution and washing certain limbs of the body to bring freshness. Well, that is exactly what we call ablution and wudu, and so on and so forth. In essence, following the deen of Allah is a source of mercy and guidance. وَإِنَّهُ لَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. إن ربك يقضي بينهم إن ربك يقضي بينهم بحكمه وهو العزيز العليم. They persist on their arrogance. Don't fear, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will pass judgment on them. So in the Quran, Allah has passed the judgment, the ruling, the theory, the legislation, the rule. But on the day of Qiyamah, it would be the execution of the ruling. So إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَقْضِي بَيْنَهُمْ بِحُكْمِ. Those who dispute, the disbelievers and the believers, those who refuse to accept, فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. Some will go to paradise, may Allah make us from amongst them, and others will go to hell, may Allah save us from that. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَقْضِي بَيْنَهُمْ بِحُكْمِهِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْعَلِيمُ. Allah is Aziz, He's mighty, Al-Alim, he knows everything. وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَى أَمْرِهِ. Allah achieves and accomplishes what He wants. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِ. You know, so many people say, I've got this dream, I've got this vision. He's very visionary. He's got this great plan. But to action this plan, to mobilize this, to make it happen is another chapter. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِ. Whatever Allah wants will happen. مَا شِئْتَ كَانَ وَإِن لَمْ أَشَأْ وَمَا شِئْتُ إِن لَمْ تَشَأْ لَمْ يَكُنْ خَلَقْتَ الْعِبَادَ بِمَا قَدْ عَلِمْتَ فَفِي الْعِلْمِ يَجْرِ الْفَتَى وَالْمُسِنْ فَمِنْهُمْ شَقِيٌّ وَمِنْهُمْ سَعِيدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ حَسَنٌ وَمِنْهُمْ قَبِيحٌ ذَا مَنَنْتَ وَهَذَا خَذَلْتَ. Amazing, the couplets of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. That ما شئت كان, Allah, what you intend will happen. وما شئت إن لم تشأ لم يكن. And what I hope, wish, plan, dream for, if you don't allow it, it's not going to happen. خلقت العباد لما قد علمت ففي العلم يجري الفتى والمسن. Everything in this creation is operating as by your knowledge, as by your complete knowledge. ففي العلم يجري الفتى والمسن. فتوكل على الله إنك على الحق المبين. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rely on Allah. You are on the absolute truth. وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. You are guiding people, meaning showing the path. Because guidance has two meanings. إِرَاءَةُ الطَّرِيقِ إِصَال إِلَىٰ الْمَطْلُوبِ. إِرَاءَةُ الطَّرِيقِ is to show the path. إِصَال إِلَىٰ الْمَطْلُوبِ is to take the person to the destination. So to take the person to the destination that only Allah can do. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you cannot physically guide anyone whomsoever you wish. But in terms of showing the path, that is precisely what you're doing. فتوكل على الله, rely on Allah. إنك على الحق المبين, you are on the absolute truth. So what's the message? When you're doing the right thing, do not be deterred, do not be intimidated, do not be demoralized, nor be enticed by those who dangle carrots before you or those who throw threats at you, but remain firm and remain committed. Allah is watching and Allah is aware. Your reliance must be on Allah. May Allah grant us that level of unwavering and absolute conviction and yaqeen, trust and reliance on Him. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen.